And I've been homeschooling my boys since birth. They are 13 and 16.
Okay. And I'm Dawn Weaver, and I've been homeschooling my kids since my oldest two were in fourth and second grade. And I have five children. My oldest is now 32, my youngest is now 18, and this is actually the first time I'm here, but the last year I'll be homeschooling, so it's kind of a weird situation. Mm-hmm. But so however many years that is, 22 or something like that. So,
hi, I'm Ursula Torbett, and I've been homeschooling for 31 years. And I have a 34-year-old, a 37-year-old, and then I have Jordan, who's 16. It's our surprise package. And we started when our first child was in the, I guess it was the second or third grade. We moved to Maryland, and she started to cry and would not want to go to school anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we reached out and tried to get help and could not get help. We desperately were trying to get help for our daughter because we felt like emotionally she was not doing well. And through that, we came to the choice of homeschooling because we felt like we were trying to save our daughter.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. All right. I guess I should put that in too. We started homeschooling because my husband was going to preaching school, which was only a two-year school. And they were at a Brotherhood Christian school back in Pennsylvania. And it was hard to pull them out of there because it was such a good environment for them. And I didn't want to throw them in a public school for just 2 years and then yank them back out. And so we wound up asking if I could homeschool, which my husband was not on board for at all. So if you've been there, you know the struggle, okay? But because of the very good examples we got to meet of young men and young women who were godly and had been homeschooled, it kind of won my husband over. So now he's definitely an advocate of homeschooling. So that can be done. So, and then once we did it for 2 years, we just fell in love with it and kept doing it.
For me, I actually thought I was sending my children to public school. My oldest, as soon as he was, I don't know, around the same time I started the camp, but I started researching the schools in our neighborhood, and I was very disappointed with what I saw. And I had visited several of the schools when I was in college just for different community service things. And so I started talking to my husband, and then I started meeting moms that were homeschooling, members of the church, and other moms, and I just said, you know, I don't think that we need to send, you know, him to these schools. I'm not comfortable with it. And I just kind of did a whole bunch of research. And then my husband and I talked about it, and he was on board with it. And that was it. So I was the mom that was like, when you're three, you're out of here. I'm going to get my time back. Yeah, okay. And then reality set in, and, you know, God had a different plan, and I'm so thankful for it.
Okay, so now first I want to open up to the floor for anyone. Does anybody have any questions from the get-go that we can address?
I just want to say I love that you said I've been homeschooling since birth.
No.
I appreciate that.
I thought that was cool. Yes, Jennifer.
So what curriculum, if you started with a curriculum, did you start with? And did you like it or stick with it or switch or all of those things?
It's a valid question. And I'll go first. I was new to homeschooling, but I knew homeschooling moms. And so I asked them. Generally, they went with a BECCA curriculum. Mm-hmm. So again, this being my first year in homeschooling, basically I tried to make it like public schooling, but at home, you know, so I could kind of, after coming from essentially a Christian public school environment, I wanted to replicate that as much as possible. So I bought way too much, especially for a preaching family just going to preach in school. It was not wise. But, you know, all the posters, all the curriculum gathered together. So I started with a BECCA, and we did a BECCA for quite a few years, but I did not use their Bible material because they do not have the same beliefs as we do. So I would only use their math and science and history and language arts. And that was a good beginner curriculum for us. I will say that as they got older and I started having more children, when we started homeschooling, I had three. Then we went to preaching school and I got pregnant the last year of preaching school with my fourth one. And then John was our surprise fifth one. but as it got busier, it was harder to keep up with the BECCA because of the amount of paper material that you had to grade everything, and it was all yourself. So I was overwhelmed. And so I did switch to something called Switched on Schoolhouse, which at that time was done by Alpha Omega Productions, which again is Christian-based, but it's not members of the church. So it was not, so I didn't use their Bible curriculum, but all the others. It was great for us because it was came on DVDs or CDs, and I could load it onto the computer. And basically, it was nice the way it was laid out, that they could read through the lesson. They would have questions at the bottom. And then if they got questions wrong, three questions wrong, then that was marked as completely wrong. And they would come to me if they were having trouble struggling. So for the ones who were old enough to read already, that was great. But I think most of those are now gone to online systems, very few of them. So if you're in a place that doesn't have internet access and you're looking for a curriculum to use, sometimes the curriculums, you can't access them. So I did like Switch on Schoolhouse for its ease of, it was easy to keep records. It was easy to, the grading was already done. I didn't have to stay up late grading. So finding some of those curriculums that are able to do that work for you is great if you have multiple children or if paperwork is not your thing. I will say their math as it got older, I would probably go with something like Saxon Math instead, because Saxon Math has a stronger, even though it's more intensive as far as the math work I would have to do. If I had to over again, I'd probably choose Saxon Math instead, because it's a stronger math base than when I feel the Switch on Schoolhouse got into. And as the kids got older, I looked, now that there's, and you'll find out more if you go to my, if you stay for my science and history thing, there's more online stuff now than there ever was. I mean, you're starting 20 years ago with me, so there's a lot more online that you can make it more a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm going to tell you that, too. If you choose a curriculum and you find it is not working for you, you don't like teaching it, the kids don't like learning it, find something that works for both of you, because that's going to be important on keeping motivated. It's very hard to keep motivated when you're homeschooling, especially, you know, if you're tired, the kids are sick, you know, you still have other kids that need to be homeschooled. It's hard to stay motivated. So finding a curriculum you like is important in that it will keep you motivated at doing it every day. So, but nowadays they have a lot more things where you can pick and choose. So I might do English from this, like Saxon Math, but then I might choose an online program for history or something like that. So that's just my experience.
Okay, so here's a little admonition for the curriculum. I say back up a minute before you dive into the curriculum and think about a couple things, right? Think about how you learn best. Victoria, this is going to be a review of Homeschool in a Hurry, but think about how you learn best and your children learn best. And their learning styles are probably changing or developing, and they will continue to change. So in my opinion, that helps drive your curriculum choice. So think about how you learn best, what you enjoy studying, and maybe topics or subjects that maybe they're not your strengths, right? Like when we got to math, by fourth or fifth grade, I passed that on to my husband because that's not my strength. I could handle it up until that point, but I still had to pick a curriculum that was kind of easy for me to teach because that wasn't one of my strong areas. So just kind of back up for a minute and give that some thought, because if you're more hands-on or if you have time to prepare more things yourself, then you may not go with a box curriculum. You may be more eclectic. When we started homeschooling, I was definitely eclectic. I created file folder games. I created lesson plans. Like, I have files and files and files of stuff that I did. I had the time to do it, but as, you know, they got older and things changed, so did the curriculum or curricula choices that I used change. So think about whether you want something boxed, you know, that's already done for you and you just kind of read the directions and say whatever you want to say to your child and teach them, or if you want to be more in charge of structuring your lesson plans and developing lesson plans. So just think about some of those things. Some resources that are helpful for us in our that were helpful in our homeschool. Clarkness.com is a very good resource. Clarkness.com. They have free reading pages, you know, starting from beginning readers with pictures with the words, and then resources by Fountas and Pinnell, Fountas, Pinnell. They have a really good phonics. They have really good phonics materials and programs. I used some of their stuff. If you're looking for something free, like if you're on a budget, the Core Knowledge Foundation has free curriculum that you can download. And I haven't used that one, so I can't speak to that. I can speak to, for the ones that have real littles, they have these activity books, Activity Book 1 and 2, and I'll pull the link. I was looking at it on my phone, and I use those because it was one book, and the activity books through Core Knowledge Foundation are really good, and it has language arts, it has science, phonics, and it's just very basic, and I think that book is only like $20, and so I use that with my boys when they're little. I mean, a lot of repetition, a lot of play. My youngest was ready to sit down and have school when he was two, but that was just him. My youngest wanted to do cartwheels and, you know, recite the ABCs, and that's what we did. Like, he would stand on his head and we would have school. But I ended up later on, we used K12.com, which some people really hate, or you really love it, or you just neither, because it is a public school curriculum, but we did the independent study, so the materials were sent to my house. I taught what I wanted to teach. Things that I didn't want to teach, I threw out. When we were in D.C., we were enrolled in the public charter school online, and we had to, you know, go to meetings and stuff like that. But when we moved to Alabama, I continued to use it, but as an independent study. There are other, you know, curriculum that I could go over, but I'm going to stop there. I have a list, and I have the list also at the Homeschool in a Hurry, so
I will be correct.
No, you did. That was all very wise.
So I'm going to give a very different answer than these wonderful ladies here, because the first thing I want to encourage you is to not overbuy. Okay, there are so many homeschool families that have bought curriculum after curriculum after curriculum. Try this, try that, try that. Piece it all together, and they've got books everywhere. Take your homeschooling slowly. You will not damage your children. Take time to get to know them. That first year is going to be so critical. When I started homeschooling, I was a manager at Walmart. We moved to Maryland. There wasn't two stores close together, so I stayed at home. When I felt like I had to save my child, I started to learn how to be a homeschool teacher. Okay? And so at that time, we just needed to get through the day without crying. If they got through the day without crying, they got a treat out of the lunchbox. And that helped us tremendously. We kept that lunchbox for years, okay, just so you know. And so what I want to say to you is that Abraham Lincoln was homeschooled. Keep it stick in the sand is what Classical Conversation says. Your eye will travel. Oh, that looks good. Oh, this looks good. It looks good. And you will waste your money, okay? Sometimes your teaching will be in your kitchen. Sometimes your teaching will be outside at the picnic table. You are not going to damage your children. It's better to build your relationship with your child than to over-concentrate the curriculum, because you will teach them because you love them. You will see opportunities everywhere, going to museums. We lived up. We could go to Gettysburg. We could go to Washington, loaded with history around there. We weren't stuck in books all the time. This is early on. Now, my first children, I have to say, when I started homeschooling, there was all kinds of meetings going on because it was new in Maryland. It wasn't real established. And I would come home with headaches because there was so much freedom, too much freedom. I needed structure. I needed help. So I did choose a curriculum at that time. Mm-hmm. Classical Conversations, 31 years ago, I think they may have not started yet. I don't know. I can't remember how old they are. I know when we started with them, I can't remember. Anyway, so I picked Bob Jones. I did not use their Bible. Mm-hmm. And when you read in their books, it's indoctrinated with their doctrine. But I took those as learning opportunities for my children. And I marked those books, I want you to know. Mm-hmm. I put in scripture so that whoever got that book afterwards, they would have truth. Okay, and so we took those as opportunities to teach. But I needed structure. I needed something to make, just tell me A, B, C, D. I can't, it's a life change. I cannot do this with doing this, doing that, doing that. And we didn't have computer was big old thing on your your desk. And it was, we were not computer savvy. Don't have a bunch of files or anything like that. So we just kept it simple. And I just needed to take care of the emotional well-being of my children first and feel secure in being a homeschool teacher, because there was a lot of pushback back then. Mm-hmm. That, well, one, your children will not be socialized. You're just going to ruin them. They never did ask me or say, well, you don't have a teaching degree. Maybe they thought it, but they never said it. So with my girls, that's what I did all the way up until they graduated. We did the Saxon math because it was touted as the strongest math. To this day, it's still not Common Core for homeschoolers. It is Common Core. They're other material. And so you want to check out what Common Core is and decide if that's what you want. Some days, you're not going to do any book learning at all. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to do something that will nurture your family. Because some days, and don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up. And, well, they might not get enough English. They might not get enough history. It will come. You can find lots of great videos on history. Mm-hmm. And watch that with your children. So that's just, there's more to it than that. But when I got pregnant with Jordan, my daughter was 17. She was going to graduate that summer. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this all over again. So what am I going to do? One child. He's going to be like an only child. And a friend of mine was sitting at a dance studio for her girls to go to, and some parents were talking about classical conversations. So she came to me and told me about it. She said it sounded really interesting. I'm like, well, do they do classical music? Or, mm-hmm. You know, what was it? What was it? And it was being established over in Spartanburg. They were starting new communities. I have to say this about classical conversations. We strongly urge that you are the teacher. You are always the teacher. They are not a co-op. Co-ops are good. I use some for my daughters to fill in. Science, a biology teacher that had been in the public schools for 15 years, decided that she wanted to stay home with her children. They had biology at her house. Both my children did. There are ways to make it work when you don't feel like you're capable to handle whatever topic that it is, whatever material that it is. And so, but CC is not a... a co-op. What CC is, a method of teaching you to be a better teacher, teaching you to learn how to communicate with your children. They have a basic core. We start off the day one day a week, but you go home and you add to it your cultural material, your whatever else, your English. If you want to, if your family's strong in writing, your family's strong in history, you do whatever you want to do. And so it is a way to nurture the family into homeschooling and help mothers have support and accountability. So I'm not trying to push CC. I just want you to understand that there's different ways out there. And it's not always about the material. It's more about what you do with the material. Okay? So I want you to try to keep focused on that. And like sometimes I would pick up books from Walmart. Those little workbooks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the ones from Sam's Club that are the...
Yeah, we were doing math, and I had one daughter that I had to stop. When we got into new concepts, I had to stop. We had to take a break from math. Mm-hmm. And when I gave her about a month, we could come back to it, and then it clicked. You have to learn your child. So please don't make the curriculum the most important thing, because it's not. Really, your family is setting your family up emotionally for this new journey, this new wonderful journey, is going to be your most important task to start off with. And then you will find curriculum, or you may make your own curriculum. I always did my own Bible also, mm-hmm. because we're using Bible. We're not going to use a doctrine. And so I felt very comfortable about that. And there were Bible bowls that would become part of our school, you know, the Bible, history Bible, best history ever, and then you can pull in what was happening on in other areas around the world. And so I just want to give you those ideas, but don't feel pressure to have to meet anybody's expectations. Okay, God gave us the duty to be able to train our children up And how old is schooling, public schooling, compared to homeschooling, mm-hmm. right? So I know that y'all can do it. Just take a breather. Sometimes I just walk around, just breathe, just breathe. Just take a breather and love your kids. And it will flow. You've got plenty of time to learn and to educate yourself as you go.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So you hold up. So classical conversations, is that where you meet? Are you meeting with people, or is it just an individual thing?
We do. We have community for our foundations, which is four to 12. They meet 24 weeks out of the year. Mm-hmm. And then for the challenge students, that's 12 to, well, I said it's 11, actually. When they turn 12, they can go into challenge A, and the high schoolers meet for 30 weeks. And so CC, at that time, CC has its own material that we use, but parents have the option to use what they want to use at home. They just need to work with the directors because we're partnering with parents. We are working together. I don't grade anything. That's up to the parent. I don't do tests. We celebrate knowledge. We celebrate what they've learned. Parents add to it whatever they want to and make it right for their family. Did that help?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. is there a cost involved on that?
There is a cost because we get paid. We go through a lot of training, and actually the cost is nothing for the directors. I mean, it's we get money, but it's not very much, okay? They keep the cost as low as possible. And so, but the reason I'm a director and why I started off as a tutor, because it paid for my child's education. Moms are the ones that tutor and direct that want to do that. They don't have outside people come in. It's in-house all the way. And I learned so much more by being a tutor and a director than I would have just being a mom. And I wanted to do that because it helped to pay. So, okay. Yeah, it is a paid thing. Mm-hmm.
Those are all good, really good points. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think you kind of answered some of this already, but how do you keep your expectations tame and not? I think that's, you think about curriculum and your mind is just like, blown,
yeah.
But mm-hmm. how do you keep realistic expectations about the journey that you're going to start?
Understand your kids are not going to win the Scripps spelling bee, okay? That's not what being a homeschooler is about. Understand that what she said, what they both said about learning how your children learn, those are really good points about learning. My first child could pick up on math points super easy, you know, and adding and carrying and subtracting. And my second child, she needed it to be a story. You know, it had to be, okay, so we need to, if you have a 27 minus 5 or 27 minus 9, you know, and you have to borrow from the tens column. She didn't understand that concept. But when I said, well, 7 needs to give 9, and, you know, so she goes to 2 and says, hey, will you give me a 10 more so I have enough to give to 9? You know, it became a story to her, and that's how she learned. But I just want to reinforce that we don't have low expectations for our children. We want them to do well, but understanding that each of our children has different capabilities and different strengths. And one child might be artistic, one child might be better at English. So we try not to make the child who's not as good at math feel bad for not being as good at math. And I think part of it also is that what we're trying to do is get them to heaven. All right. So focusing first on God and then on what can we do within our homes to help them to learn. So, and that's where, whether it's the classic conversations or the resources that Homeschool in a Hurry has available as far as helping you to learn, it's trying to keep in check what are my goals for this year. There's a thing called Homeschool Roundhouse that's in North Carolina, and it's a week long of all Christians, all members of the Church of Christ, and all homeschoolers. And it's a family camp that we didn't miss every year, because I would do that. It would be the beginning of the year, and I would be panicking because it was the beginning of the year and you're looking at all the curriculum and you're laying out, you know, your itinerary for each day. And I would get panicky about thinking, how am I going to get this all in? Because I have 5 children now, and all of that. And going to Roundhouse gave that, okay, reset your mind, okay? Main thing is getting them to heaven. So realizing that the main goal is getting them to heaven, realizing that, as she said, as you're getting into this by baby steps, all right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to need to learn how to forgive yourself for the times that you don't do as well as you think you should, okay? And that goal of, I want my child to become this, or I want my child to be able to recite, you know, every state in the United States and tell the Capitol, and all of those things that are interesting details to learn, but are not necessarily what they need to learn to be successful in life. So learning the difference between that. Your children need to know how to read. They need to know how to do math. History is fantastic, but it's also vast, okay? Mm-hmm. And there are fun ways to learn history without it being a name, date, what happened, name, date, what happened, which can be the most boring way to learn history.
I didn't even care if my children learned dates. I wanted to learn the concepts and get the general area, because I'm not big on dates. I can't remember dates. And I said, where in the world would they have to know all those dates except teaching classes? You know? So I didn't focus that much. I just got in that the 1700s.
The periods.
Not less pressure.
But also getting excited about it. Mm-hmm. I did not like history when I was in school. As a teacher, I loved history, okay, because you just teach that these are people. And I love Janaea's take on, you know, incorporating different countries. And we did that. We did unit studies on China. We did unit studies on India. We did unit studies on Brazil. So when you're incorporating things into your homeschool, remember that the major things are reading and writing, and yes, being able to write is important, and your math skills are important as far as they're going to need to do math, but also remember that once you teach them to read and you have a curriculum you're comfortable with, then they can read that curriculum and learn things from it. And if you have multiple children like I did, they can learn, and you figure out what their trouble spots are, but teaching them how to teach themselves is a big deal too. And I can't stress that enough, that my children, as they got older, okay, one wanted to learn how to make rockets, so he found a guy on YouTube and he makes rockets, and we've had nothing blow up yet except the rocket, so that's good. But you know, another one wanted to learn how to, you know, make this specific dish. So she would look up online. So teaching our kids how to do that is also very important.
Can I add something to what you're saying there? When I first started, one of the books, I read tons of homeschooling books. There weren't that many, but there were quite a few out there. I was surprised at how old homeschooling was, that people homeschooled. One mother, she took her children, her 3 sons, to the library, said, pick out whatever books that you want. And they got books that interested them. They brought them home, and they did through the week. They did their school around that. I was just like, oh, no, there is no way I'm doing that. I want you to know that her sons turned out to be a doctor, a lawyer, and an engineer by doing that. And so knowing your children, your style of your family, they're going to learn. What you want to give them is that passion to learn. One of my goals, you have to start off with a goal. My first goal is I want them to know God. My second goal was I want them to love to learn. That's it. As long as I stay true to those, that would help to keep me reined in so I didn't go too far. And I have to keep coming back to that. I would also encourage new homeschooling mothers to start a notebook, put in pictures, articles, your goals, your thoughts, your feelings, and write this out and do this little book, so that when you got to a point, you're like, why am I doing this? I don't think I can do this anymore. You go back to that book, you read all those things you wrote in the early days, and that will recharge you and help you get recentered.
Can I
have
some?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
You remember your question, though?
I think so, yeah.
Lisa? Okay, all right.
Just to be real brief, for expectations, depending on the ages of your children, and like the other sisters have said, you know your children, you know what works best for them. I know I started off with, and we continue this as Don and Ursula have both said, making sure that God is the center. And so we always started every morning with our family devotion, because if I wasn't able to get anything else done, we were going to get our devotional time in, and we always did our schoolwork after. And when mine were really little, I had a time frame in mind. Like, I had a schedule. We're going to be done by 12 o'clock. I mean, they're 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. We're going to be done by 12 o'clock. And then we're going to have playtime and nap time and, you know, lunch and all of that. And so within that, I may have spent like 20 minutes on phonics, or, you know, 10 minutes on math. And we're getting up and we're wiggling and I'm potty training my, you know, my, yeah, my youngest. So you're doing all of that. So the expectations, as they both said, it's really that your children grasp those concepts. My boys didn't know what grades were. They didn't know, like, percentages. They didn't know any of that, probably until around sixth grade, maybe. And they didn't even know, like, people would ask them, well, what grade are they in? And they would look at me, like, what grade? I mean, because it's just not something. Yes. So grade-wise, and then, like, A, B, C, D, because we focused on grasping those concepts. And so your expectations, as they both have said, it will vary by child and vary by your schedule, but making sure that you have that center and you start off, you know, with that devotion every day is so important. That's what I wanted to say.
No, that's perfect.
And the grade thing, what grade you're in is hard, because Rose Banks was sharing last night that one of her daughters, she would start saying, well, I do this in this grade, and yep, I do this in this grade, and I do this in this grade. Yep. And she's like, what grade am I in? And I said, just average them all together. Yeah. You know, put the numbers together, average it, you got it. You know, so grades, it's society that's all about grades, and they have to learn to take tests. By the time they start going to high school, though, do teach them how to take tests, because they have to get ready for that ACT. And I've been talking to my son desperately about, you need good study habits. You have terrible study habits, you've got to get better, because a study habit is reading over it and then taking a test. And so, you know, those days will come, though. But when they're little, love them, enjoy them, have fun. Oh, there's that little bug. Let's talk about that little bug over there, you know? So isn't that a pretty little bug? Or isn't that an ugly-looking little bug? Your child may step on it, especially as a boy. But you can talk about it. If he steps on it, he's like, what's in that little bug, you know?
You got 5 minutes. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. What was your question then?
Oh, and it kind of ties into the expectations. I'm I'm in my second year of homeschooling, but yes, still feel very, very new. And we came out of the public school system, so my kids are a little bit older. But, I was just wondering what your suggestions would be about learning gaps that you find, or, you know, or say, my son, he's 10, he came out of public school, and I knew he was struggling a little bit with math in public school, for example, but what I realized, you know, once I started teaching him and was the one there all the time, I'm like, oh, okay, we are struggling there. And then, you know, and because he's struggling and he knows he's struggling, he doesn't like it, you know. So what are your suggestions when you run into, like, a roadblock with something like that?
I'll let them answer this, too. Yeah. My first thing is step back. Mm-hmm. Step a grade back, right, you know, and stay in that grade until he's happy with it.
Don't
you know?
Let them know you're stepping them a grade.
Right. But that's just that would be my first response there, because you want to teach them. Okay, I can't make math fun. Okay, the closest I get is stories. Okay, there's only so much you can do with math. But, you know, I'd say if you're really stressing about something where they're really not just not liking the concept, but not getting the concept, step back a little and find out where the root problem is. What did they miss basic that's making it hard to do what they're doing now? Do you have something more on that?
Yeah, and again, math is not my strong point, so I had to work really hard at this even when they were younger. But there are lots of websites and games that don't have a whole bunch of the animation stuff. I'll have to look back in my notes to see which ones, but we often use some of those websites where they're just, you know, working on basic math facts, and it was still fun, but that helped kind of fill in the holes where the gaps were. But sometimes I didn't know how to, you know, teach them a concept or something, and I would ask someone else. Khan Academy is good too.
That's one of the things in my thing.
Yeah, Khan Academy.
K-A-H-N or K-H-A-N, which is
K-H-A-N.
Khan Academy, that's one in my presentation. Khan Academy has oodles of very good videos that will explain basic concepts on up, you know, and they go all the way through physics and AP math and everything like that. But
And reward the progress too. I'm huge on rewards. Reward the progress in whatever subjects or Bible too. So just think about that. I mean, he may be a little discouraged right now, but you could incentivize. You could have some type of reward structure as he makes progress and charting that progress, and he could see it. I mean, we had buckets from the dollar store, which had little prizes, and the boys could pick something. Just something simple.
I was not a good mom. I didn't reward enough.
And celebrate the victories, no matter how small they are. You did so great at that. We're going to do this again. Let's try it again. Just so great. Yeah. And math is one of those things where they'll start to move forward. It's kind of like when a child walks. They start walking, and then all of a sudden you're like, why are they crawling? They were walking. Well, it'll be that way. They'll step back a little bit, and what they learned a couple days ago and got really well, they'll forget a couple days later. So be very patient. Yes. Be very, very patient. Say, you know what? This is hard for mommy too. That will make them feel better. And Lee Borton, she's the one that created Classical Conversations. She said, sometimes you just got to love your child. Just hug them. Let's put this away. Let's go get an ice cream. Okay? And we'll come back to this. And help them with their confidence of God. Because I know that math is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Do some math in the Bible. You can look it up. Google math in the Bible. And they'll bring some stuff. Look how cool this is. Let's try this. So you will. Once you identify those problems. But his self-confidence is really low. And so you want to try to build that back up. Also, use your windows and your mirrors. And when we were doing Latin, I got my son to write up with markers, these markers here, and he loved essentials. When he was diagramming a sentence, we did it on the windows. They love that because they're allowed to write on the window. They look,
Brilliant.
Yes.
I love that.
And so you have to clean it really well because it gets kind of greasy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It really is. So use your windows. Use things around the house. Just have it exciting. You be excited. And if you feel, I know for me, I would start to get emotional, like upset, because I couldn't explain it to him, but the way that he's, and my daughter, one of my daughters, the way they saw it is I was mad at them. Mm-hmm. So if you start your emotions going up, say, you know what, mommy needs a break. This is way hard. You know, we can do this, but we're going to have to just take a break. I mean, just come up with positive ways and to help them deal with it. You want to help their self-esteem, hold their self-esteem. School should never come over their self-esteem in your relationship.
Any more questions? I think we're... Yes?
We may be out of time, so if you don't get a full answer this, but I know I'm kind of on the fence. He's my first one, so I haven't started anything yet.
That's a good time to think about it.
One of my friends invited me when she found out my husband's going to be out of town, but... I guess I'm a public school teacher formally.
Uh-huh.
I'm staying home with him though.
Yeah.
So I'm for sure going to be staying at home. And so my hardest debate, I guess, on just making the decision whether homeschooling mm-hmm. is for me or not is mm-hmm. that I know for me, all of my teachers that I had made such a huge impact on my
sure.
life. And I had such great teachers.
Sure.
And some were in public school, and then I did go to private school for a while. And mm-hmm. that's why I became an educator, because I love learning. And mm-hmm. so, like, in some ways, I'm like, you know, I could do a good job with that. But then at the same time, like, I would love for my children to interact with different teachers and mm-hmm. different teaching styles in that aspect, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I know that was huge for me. And I'm very black and white. I was a math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so math is my strong suit. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to more the creative side of things mm-hmm. and, like, English and stuff, I'm like, I don't know if I would do the best job. I know that there are people who do great with that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would love for him and any other children that we have to mm-hmm. get the best. And mm-hmm. so, like, I know that there are some great teachers in public school. So I guess all that to say, like, I'm on the fence, so I would love thoughts to go along with that.
Okay.
So I don't have a direct question necessarily.
No, that's a question. You know, concern about, you know, really good teachers that right. you've had. I want my child to have good teaching influence from others. Mm-hmm. What state are you in?
I'm in Tennessee.
You're in Tennessee. Okay, cool. So I'm just going to say something brief and then throw off. So there are co-ops available where homeschool moms get together. Homeschool moms, like they've said, with degrees even, mm-hmm. and with strengths and talents that they're teachers. Okay, so you can still homeschool and expose your kids to talented, excited mm-hmm. teachers who know their topic. But might teach in more, can I say, creative way?
Yes.
Because they're trying to get the kids excited about it instead of trying to meet whatever the school quota is for how many kids have to pass the class.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is there are teachers available. So if your concern is about that, Find people with co-ops, arrange co-ops, meet co-ops, find people. Do you have people in your circle who are homeschool teachers?
There are some families at our church that
okay.
Yes,
okay.
So I think I could find from there.
And yeah, and you are close to Alabama, okay? Probably, I don't know where that is.
I'm actually closer to Kentucky.
You're closer to me then. Okay. So what I'm saying is sending out feelers for other people who maybe want to do it and would be willing to travel, okay? And that might be a little harder as far as doing it on a regular basis, but will still expose your child to really good teachers, and you can have an entire day for, you know, whatever the topic is, mm-hmm. and just spend the whole day with that teacher, okay?
Well, you have local problem. Facebook pages, too, uh-huh. homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. So get on those and say, does anybody know in the area where I can find... And you will get a lot of answers. I would be surprised that you wouldn't get enough answers for you to choose from, too.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just add briefly, when mine were little, I wanted them to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we had a Spanish class in my home. Mm-hmm. Parents got together. We hired a Spanish teacher.
So cool.
Everyone chipped in.
That's great.
They brought their kids to my house. We were down in the basement. And, you know, we did it that way. And then fast forwarding with science, my boys love science, but I was overwhelmed by the time I just gathered all the materials for their science project. So there's a member of the church who, you know, was a teacher. She wasn't teaching anymore, but she was certified. She would come to my house once a week and do 2 to 3 science lessons with my son. I just gathered all the materials. So there are definitely, you know, ways that you can work that in.
And we're going to have to wrap up here. So, but what I want to say is, Don't hesitate to come talk to us, okay, about any other questions you might have or any other homeschool mom here who's been at it for a while. They would love to sit down and give you whatever wisdom they have or commiserate with you on how hard those first few years are while you're trying to get your feet under you. Is there any other questions we have, though, before we go? Because I hate to wrap this up, but...
I kind of had a question that kind of ties into what she said.
Sure,
like,
go ahead.
I've had a lot of people say, like, ask me, like, are you certified, you know, and kind of mm-hmm. say mm-hmm. things like that, which mm-hmm. is not encouraging at all.
Right.
And
right.
How do you feel adequate to teach your child, I guess?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to say that's a process, okay? Second of all, if you're starting young, it's an easier process. Do you know how to read? Mm-hmm. Do you know how to do math?
Yeah.
Do you know how to... You're good. You're a teacher. Okay, so that's all.
You kind of learn as you go. Is that like how it kind of, how the process works? Like you just.
I have relearned so many subjects in order to teach my kids. Okay, so just in the realm of it's okay if you walk into a subject, okay, and you don't know everything about it. Mm-hmm. All right, that's what the internet has been. In my mind, created for to help us homeschooling moms. I mean, I know there's lots of bad to it, but that's one of the best things is the areas that are on the internet that I can go, man, I do not remember how to do this subject in you name it, okay? So, no, going into this, you're loving on your baby, okay? You're walking into this in baby steps. It's mainly about trying to do that bond, learn how he learns, learn what you need to teach, but you are qualified to teach your child how to read and how to do math. You are fully certified, okay? If we need to give you a certificate, we'll give you a certificate. But you are qualified to teach your child because you already know this topic. You've been doing reading for how many years you are old and since you learned to read, and you've been doing math since you learned to do math. So as far as technically your skills and your experience, you're fully qualified to teach your child.
And
okay.
the one who qualified you was God.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
He entrusted you with that child.
Exactly.
Right.
You will do if parents and teachers haven't learned anything through COVID.
Yes.
and homeschooling at home. I don't know how many times I thought, why did those families not get together and save their children? And they're still trying to and save their children from the issues that they're having. The parents can do it. They have the capability, but we've been brainwashed to think that we are not capable because we don't have a degree. How many kids graduate from high school? Well, they don't graduate. How many kids mm-hmm. do not graduate high school or graduate low in their grades? It's not the teacher's fault. You know, there's things that need, well, sometimes it may be the teacher's fault. I don't know. Sometimes there's bad teachers. But I'll say, I respect teachers.
No.
I respect their love and dedication to children. There are wonderful teachers out there, but I'm a teacher too.
Right, right.
Last parting words I would say is that you all know your children best.
Yep.
That's it.
Hands down.
You are your child's best teacher, and just don't forget that. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to plug Jenna's Homeschool in a Hurry course, because I did review that for her, and it is a wonderful resource for anyone getting started. It just helps you kind of articulate what your goals are, remind you that you do know your children, and help you put into place just what is important about homeschool. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional.
That's all right. You're allowed. That's also homeschooling, so go ahead.
But it also helps you learn, like you said earlier, your learning methods so that you can better teach your child and equip you with the resources that you need to teach your child the best. And show you that there are many different methods. There's not just one box way of teaching your family. And you may use multiple different ways for your three children, or however many. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as you are going back to your why and accomplishing those goals.
Mm-hmm. And final thought
don't
on...
Don't do the homeschool in a hurry. Don't do it.
Is that our website you shared?
It's on campsandculture.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just ordered it, so I'm
going to
dive into that.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. All right. Main goal is get them to heaven. Main goal is God at the center of everything you do. And that's the important thing about homeschooling. Okay. And we're going to get them everywhere else they need to be as they need it. But take small steps. God at the center, most of all. And you love your kids and you know them best of all.
I promise you, they will move ahead of you. They
absolutely
will.
That's
yes.
What they want.
They will move ahead of you. You just get them started.
And finding someone, look around for mentors. Find yourself someone from here or from somewhere else that you have a homeschooling mom. Talk to that person. Keep in contact with that person. Ask that person questions. Don't think you have to do it all on your own. There's huge connections out here. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.